Hello, podcast listeners. We know podcasts are a great way to catch up on a program that you may have missed on KSJE, and it's provided as a free service of this radio station. But you know, KSJE is now listener-supported, and so while you enjoy this podcast, we hope that you'll also take some time to join KSJE. Become a member today. It's quite easy to do. Just go to our website at ksje.com/support and pick the level of support that best matches your budget. Thanks again for listening. Here's your podcast.
Hello again, and welcome to Native Art Voices of the Four Corners. This is Vinaya Yazzie, your host. Today we have a special guest from our community, AJ Begay, who is a multidisciplinary artist of the community. Good morning, AJ. How are you doing?
Good morning. How are you, Vinaya?
I'm doing really well. So if you'd like to introduce yourself to the public, it would be so great to hear.
Yat A, AJ Begay, in Shia. Hello, everybody. My name is AJ Begay. I am from the Diné Nation. I am a multidisciplinary artist here in Farmington, New Mexico. Right now, I'm mostly involved with activities with the Arts Council. I'm also a full-time student, you know, trying to finish up my fine arts degree. Really, that's kind of where I'm at, you know, to introduce myself.
I think that's an important thing to really think about as Indigenous artists in our Four Corners, is that a lot of times we have a second job or we have another life situation happening. Yeah. So we kind of do this multitasking. And for us as Native people, especially as Native women, it's kind of a given. Like, it's this almost like this innate thing that we do. I mean, maybe as all women, we have several things that we juggle with and we maintain, but it's just the normal. It's not anything that's out of the ordinary.
It is. I think that's a gift that Native women have, is being able to juggle multiple things. You know, you have a family, you have if you have children, you know, then you have your artwork, and then you have your home, you know, your job that you have to earn money at, you know, and then you have more family.
It's true, you know, because in the Navajo culture, if you're not familiar, we are a matriarchy. So our leadership really runs through the women, especially in the home. Mm-hmm. So we are members of these Navajo clan families, which AJ spoke about. She is Nakai Diné. Mm-hmm. And she brings that clan from her mother, and then her mother brought that from AJ's grandmother. Mm-hmm. And then her grandmother came from the great-grandmother. So it's really the bloodline of the Navajo-ness that we have. So when you think about the concept of family, which in Navajo is keh, you know, it's not just mom, dad, kid,
it's everybody.
Animal. It's your great-uncles, mm-hmm. It's your great-grandmother, it's your cousin sisters, mm-hmm. and your cousin brother. So when Navajos talk about family, it really includes everybody in the whole wide Navajo universe.
Yeah, it's all your Navajo kin. And, you know, the Diné people, their culture is built upon, in, you know, the women. The gender, the female gender, is epitomized in Native culture. You know, everything, even Mother Earth, you know, and then the female form of, you know, like the corn and our plants and our animals, you know, even our animals are our relatives. So there's, you know, it embraces everything, you know, and it's so beautiful. I mean, I get goosebumps just talking about it because I'm so passionate about our indigenousness, you know, and how wonderfully we're connected to each other as humans, but our connection to earth and the land is so important, you know. And I try to make sure that people that I come across and I talk to and I have a meaningful conversation with, you know, knows that about you know, about us as Native peoples, that we are, you know, that we hold those things very highly, you know, in our culture and with each other.
It is a part of our existence as Navajos. And when we look at the art way in the Navajo culture, we have some of our clans that are gifted with creativity. And so all the things that you speak about, AJ, are really important, because we do weave all those aspects into our art. And it just happens. We don't have to really think about it. And I think we as Navajos are such a blessed native population. Oh, yeah. Because we have so many artistic qualities. So can you tell me a little bit about what your art is and what do you bring to the four corners as far as your art?
You know, I didn't start out as wanting to, like, I didn't say, oh, I want to be an artist when I grow up, you know. It was just something we did growing up. You know, I grew up beading. My aunt was like, hey, learn how to bead. And she taught me how to bead. And so I would sit there and, you know, as a little tiny girl with graph paper, and I would, you know, do these patterns for my beading. You know, and then we started silversmithing. She taught me how to silversmith. You know, and then just over the years, just doing certain things. But within my family, you know, my Aunt Lori was the one who really pushed art. And I used to go to gallery openings with her. And, you know, that's just how we grew up. Everything, you know, it wasn't, oh, I want to be an artist. It was just there. You know, we were just in that environment. So she was a huge influence. So, you know, I do, and then I branched out into drawing, and I figured out that I love to draw and paint. Painting is a little more, it's a little newer to me. I'm trying to get a hold of that medium because it's a lot different from drawing, and, you know, it's more fluid. But, you know, I do enjoy drawing and painting primarily. You know, beading, and I don't silversmith. I would like to, but that's more my sister's passion, and they're silversmithers. And then I recently got into ceramics at school, which I hated initially. But then, you know, as art is and how it, you know, you touch it and you feel it and it becomes part of you, the ceramics completely, I went 180 with that process. And I would sit alone by myself in the room and touch this clay, and it was completely, it turned from being so frustrated to almost being a spiritual process that I had no idea about. Nobody taught me about it. I didn't learn it. You know, I learned it in school, but I completely took it from being a strange process to completely embracing it. So, you know, I don't think I'll be a ceramic artist, but it's something that is, you know, that I've also taken in, and it became part of me almost to even, not to necessarily claim as a medium that I do, but to be able to say, you know, yes, I've touching clay and being able to be part of that process is really, really important too. It just as, you know, painting and drawing for me is, and beading. And it is a spiritual process. I think all of it, for me it is. And it's very emotional, because when I do paint or draw, it's about something specific. I've become very passionate about my history and my indigeneity and my family and our people, and not just the Diné people, but people all over Turtle Island. You know, so it has become an emotional process, and it's definitely something that's rewarding, as I'm thinking it is for most artists.
Thank you for sharing that, AJ, because it is true. You know, I've spoken to a lot of artists, and they all have come to an understanding about how art can help them to heal their spirit. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times, you know, we use the term healing, but I think there's a deeper meaning behind that, because when you look at a Native person in the contemporary society now, we bring along these generational traumas, mm-hmm. that we've inherited in our DNA. Mm-hmm. And sometimes, you know, we as modern Native people, we don't really understand or really grasp those concepts of that. So I've seen a lot of artists who talk about how art has helped them heal, mm-hmm. has helped them in a mental way, a spiritual way, a physical way even.
Oh yeah.
And especially after the pandemic, mm-hmm. we've been through with the past 2 years, you know.
Hard.
And can you speak a little bit about maybe how those elements speak to you and your current life experience?
So I've had a crazy life. You know, I left home after high school and joined the military. You know, I've really been thinking, you know, like I'd said before, I've been reconnecting with my indigenous, my native culture, because colonists and colonizers and colonization, and, you know, we've lost a lot of our culture. And so, you know, like you'd said, as modern natives, we are, it's hard to kind of grasp that, but, you know, we've got to get and heal from that pain and try to get past the generational trauma and try to be the first to try to get past that as natives now. It'll still be part of us. you know, but it's something that we can try to heal. And art is amazing for those of us that use art to heal, quote unquote, heal. The pandemic was very hard. You know, artists, and I'm just going to speak specifically about the Diné people. We were hit hard with the pandemic. Everybody knows somebody that is not here with us anymore and that journeyed on because of that. That was very painful for us as people. And just Native people on Turtle Island, I think, was very painful because we were very susceptible to that. And a lot of us had to figure out how to work through that and how to express our emotions and how to get those out. A lot of those times, you know, that's when I started grasping my art again. You know, I was beating, like, insanely. I was very specific about my beating. Like, each bead had to be, like, the perfect size next to the next one, you know, and I was like, oh my, this has to be perfect, you know, so I was I got a little crazy with that, you know, and I drew one of my best drawings during the pandemic. I did a portrait of Diné matriarchs. Anyway, I did this charcoal drawing of her and Juanita Manuelito, you know, just because I was like, wow, you know, these women, you know, she was put through so much and she was such an amazing leader for our Diné women. She was a warrior and, you know, she accompanied her husband down to Huede, down to Bosque Redondo and fought alongside him and helped her people. And she's somebody that I do, you know, look up to. And then there's my grandmother. So I'm going to be doing a portrait of my grandmother soon as a matriarch series. So the pandemic was something that really, I think, evoked a lot of emotions because as Diné people, we were put in that situation and we had to deal with it and we had to figure out how we were going to deal with these emotions of our grandparents leaving and our mothers and fathers, you know, and excuse me. You know, so the pandemic was very, very, it was very emotional for a lot of people. And I think it touched a lot of artists also. So, you know, they had to work through that. And that was something that, you know, the pandemic definitely, it brought out a lot of great art.
Yeah. And I think it's very important that, you know, that you understand, you know, as a younger generation Diné woman, how much of an impact art can have on our physiology, right? Yeah. Our lives as modern Navajo people. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a true attribute to our matriarchy, mm-hmm. because we are taught those things from our female community of Navajo women relatives, you know, mm-hmm. they teach us about empathy. They teach us about compassion. And in the Navajo language, we have a term for that. And it's a jopa. It's a special sacred term that my grandmother used to say to me. And what it is, it's literally caring, mm-hmm. having kindness, perpetuating all those aspects of human nature that we as women, as nurturers have. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, you know, that moves beyond just our family. Like I said, it moves on to our extended family and then to our community.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and I think, you know, I've known you probably for a couple of years, AJ, mm-hmm. not really knowing you that well, but I've seen you and the things you do. You remind me of this floating hummingbird, you know, because I'll see you come into an art place and you're just like floating la la in your smile and you're gone. And I'm like, where did AJ go? And then, you know, but what you leave is you leave this great trail of goodness, to be honest.
I hope so. You know, that's one thing I really want to make sure is that my goal every day is to go out and to make someone smile. You know, I just want to make people happy. And maybe that's a fault because, you know, you can't make everybody happy. And those times that I can't, I'm like, what is wrong with you, AJ? You know, you weren't that funny that day. What is, you know? So it is hard. You know, it's hard to, sometimes it's hard to care so much, you know?
Yeah, but I think your connection to the arts in our Four Corners community, especially here in Farmington and then also the neighboring reservation, really is an asset because you have that personality and you are able to connect and build bridges to people who may not be so happy all the time, who may not know art a lot of the times, mm-hmm. who may be newcomers to our community, but you're able to be out there as a representative of our people, mm-hmm. and to educate them, you know, and I think that's one great attribute about our new generation of Native people because we're educated, you know.
Oh, yeah.
You spoke about Juanita, you know, she was the companion of Manuelito, Chief mm-hmm. Manuelito, and those two people understood what the importance of a Euro-American education was for our coming generations of mm-hmm. Navajos. So they really grasped that idea of we need to have educated Navajo people to mm-hmm. speak English.
Oh, yeah.
And so that when they made the treaty in 1868, they made sure that every Navajo child was going to get an education.
That was important.
And so I see that now with people like you, you know. So, you know, like you mentioned before, you kind of dabble in all these different forms of art, but at the end you absorb them. Mm-hmm. And then after you absorb them, you kind of shine them out to the community.
Yeah.
So I think it's a great situation that you find yourself in 2022, AJ, because you partnered with a lot of people. I know with the Northwest New Mexico Arts Council.
I love the Arts Council.
So maybe you can speak a little bit on that. Like, how do you see yourself as this sort of art messenger, or like this person who's really in tune to the arts? And how do you think that helps our Four Corner community? You think about New Mexico, Arizona, Utah, and Colorado.
Yeah. Well, you know, I want to first and foremost thank Flo Trujillo, because she was the one who kind of brought me in and was like, hey, AJ, I see these things about you. Maybe you can help me here. And that brought me out of my shell, and it made me want to, you know, she kind of not pushed me or forced me, but kind of nudged me into the community, because she was cognizant of the different things that I was able to bring, which I'm still trying to accept myself, but I'm very grateful to her. And the Arts Council is a great organization, you know, doing work downtown and talking to different artists. And it's not just artists that are downtown. People, even with the art walks, people come in from out of town and they see the amazing things we're doing here in Farmington, and they see other Native artists and other Indigenous artists that are being exposed, not just by the Arts Council, but just in our town. We've got some amazing artists in this town, such great talent. And I just, my deepest urge and want is to shine light on these people and make sure that they're recognized, because my talent is a tiny little drop in this little bowl compared to what people have and what they have and what our Native people have in this town and in this, on our reservation and in this community. And my goal is also to push it further than New Mexico. I want to touch Arizona and New Mexico and Colorado. I want to go over to California. I want to, you know, touch people in Texas and go further up into the, you know, Dakotas, and talk to our people up in Washington and our Dene relatives up in Alaska. I have a huge, huge plan. One day it'll come to fruition, but my ultimate goal is to shine light on our Native people. That's my ultimate goal, because I think we aren't recognized the way we should be. And things like your program are important, because it's shining light on what needs to be exposed and what needs to be talked about, and different things like that, like healing and generational healing. Just being able to talk and speak my language and introduce myself in Navajo is important. I may not speak it fluently, but being able to grab the language and to be able to use it in any situation I can, I think is beautiful. But the Arts Council has definitely helped in bringing that closer to me and being able to, enabling me to bring that to others. It's a simple process, but it's something that I take great passion and care in hoping to, I just want it to grow.
You know, being an ally in the arts community is very important now. Mm-hmm. And I think the Northwest New Mexico Arts Council has really found someone that has found a lot of people in our community who are willing to approach this organization humbly, mm-hmm. not humbly in a negative aspect, but understanding that, you know, we have a role to play in our Native communities. Yeah. You know, I talked
a responsibility, almost.
A responsibility. Mm-hmm. I've talked to Native artists, and I've known so many Native artists. I've seen some that began from the very beginning and who are now at sort of, you know, the hierarchy as far as Native art goes. They're at this other end where sometimes you see a change in them, and that's human nature, right?
Yeah.
Ego always gets involved. And then the message that they were wanting to convey with their art changes because they find themselves in a, quote, higher status, mm-hmm. than the, you know, maybe this, the Four Corners artist that sells at the Four Corners, you know, monument or whatever.
Yeah.
So they kind of put themselves above artists. And I think one of the important things that we need to do as Native artists is to educate our own Native people too about why we do art.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in the Navajo culture, we are artists. We were born to be artists in our, you know, life ways, our epistemology.
Mm-hmm.
The teaching is that we're given gifts and talents to help the people.
Yeah.
We're giving gifts and talents to help the people, and it's not to be a selfish act. Mm-hmm. So I myself have found myself in those situations where I'm thinking I'm a better artist than whoever. Mm-hmm. But no, I have to come back and say, hey.
You got to ground yourself again.
Yeah. I am just a Chizhi Navajo artist, you know, just like the next guy. Yeah. You know, and so pull back those reins and say, hey, you're here for the people. Mm-hmm. That's our job as Native people, as Navajo people specifically, is to help each other, to help the extended family. What you speak on is very important, because that's an aspect that I actually really haven't heard from a lot of younger artists. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, we live in a culture of social media. The teachings a lot of times in our school and our culture is I and me. Mm-hmm. So what you're saying is very, very good and very vital to know. So I'm happy that you are thinking on another view about how art should be established and explained and perpetuated within Native communities, not just in the four corners, but beyond.
But beyond the four corners, you know, there's so much. And I mean, just Native art in, you know, poetry. And I was exposed to Natalie Diaz recently, and gosh, just great poets and you know, and Lucy Tapahanso and gosh, she was an early poet inspiration to me, because everything that she talked about, I was so familiar with. And I was like, wow, this poet has his book in Navajo, and it's talking about all the things that I know about and I'm so familiar with, and I could understand it and identify with it, you know, because growing up as Native and in the middle, smack middle of Dene Nation, we live in a border town. So you have those balances that are so uneven, and you're trying as a Native kid to get over them and trying to, you know, you're trying to grow, and you compare yourself to others. And, you know, growing up, I'm like, how come I don't look like this blonde haired, blue eyed girl? How come I didn't grow up in a house like that? How come, why don't I have the things she does, you know? And I think as Natives, we all go through that as kids, you know, but then you learn and you're like, oh, you know, and then you get older and you're like, why, you know, why was I comparing myself? I'm such a beautiful individual, you know, and I come from a beautiful culture. And you learn over time that, you know, your people are so important. And I hope that kids now see that. And I hope they grow up knowing that their culture is beautiful and the art they do is important, that they are important and their lives matter. I just want children too to know that their, you know, their art is beautiful, and I want that to be something that they grow on.
Yeah, our children are so very important, you know, whether we have children or not. I wanted to ask you a little bit then about children in the community of kids in our four corners, our Navajo Nation. What have you done working with kids, if any, and what is your hope for our young Native people?
I love kids. I don't have any of my own. I have one niece. The three girls, that my mom's three girls, we had one child. So there aren't a lot of kids in our family, but I love children, and they're dear to me, and they're so precious. You know what? We need to embrace our Native children and push their artistry, because like you said before, Vinaya, it's something that we're immersed in from the day we're born. Natives are artists. That's who we are. So, you know, making sure you encourage your child, and making sure that if they are making art, you know, don't say, what are you doing? You know, you know, encourage them and embrace them and push that, because that's something that could actually be an outlet for them eventually. Because even Native kids now are, you know, they still have the generational trauma. We're still dealing with that. And that's something that's going to help them and help them grow and help them be better human beings later on. I haven't done a lot of work with children. I've worked with a couple of children during the art markets, the makers market. I did a little painting session for children. That was so cute. I loved it. I would do that again in a heartbeat, because the art they make, it's just amazing. It's like they go from parts of the brain that I didn't even know that I don't think I access those parts of my brain anymore, you know. These children just reach into these areas, and their creativity is so new, and it's insane, you know. So kids have so much potential. And I'm a big sister with big brothers and big sisters. My last little was, she was an Indigenous girl. We did art a lot together. That was one of the things she really loved to do, was paint. And I met her when she was in middle school. She was a sixth grade, I think. Mm-hmm. And then she's getting ready to graduate. And I saw her for the first time in a couple years since the pandemic the other day, like a couple of months ago. And she's tall and she's beautiful and she's so happy and she's grounded and she's amazing, you know? So that really just gave me so much hope for our future. Our children are so important. And we need to protect them and give them every tool that we have right now in order for them to be able to be more successful than we are. You know, I want my niece to be amazing. She's a great artist. She's amazing. I want her to be known everywhere. I want her to take pride in what she does and to be able to say, hey, I did that, you know, and this is what it's doing to help others. So, you know, that's something that I love. I love it. I love kids and I love the potential that they have, and even more so Native children.
I think that's really a great statement because during the early 90s, when the No Child Left Behind was going on, they took art out of the schools. Mm-hmm. And that included our border town schools, our Native schools, you know. And at the time, you know, I was studying education and I thought that was such an atrocity because I feel like being an artist, also a Native artist, a Navajo artist, you're kind of an advocate for these children, the coming generation. And I always thought that it would be a good thing for our Navajo tribe to insist that we have art in our schools every day for our Navajo children, because that's part of our tradition. Mm-hmm. That is our right to have the creative process in our lives. So, you know, maybe if our children are not getting art in the schools, we can at least supply that and have it available to them.
Yeah.
Especially, you know, with art councils and those sort of entities that they'll be able to come and maybe do a drawing in 5 or 10 minutes and take it home with them, and they're going to live with that forever.
Yeah.
And I think that's great that you're able to do these outlets like for the Makers Market to have a kids section.
Yeah.
And there's, you know, there is a lot of Native children who need art in their lives. I've always seen comments or quotes that say, like, art saves lives.
It does.
And I believe that.
Yeah, like I said, I had a crazy life. You know, when I joined the military, I had begun before that time, earlier in my life, drinking and doing other things that I should not have been doing. And that became a problem, especially after the military. And then coming back here, it was a problem. You know, I tried leaving. I tried leaving it behind, you know, but it followed me like a dirty stain. You know, it just followed me everywhere until I had to finally confront it and say it was enough. You know, it's not going to ruin my life. You know, so that decision alone was healing, but art was a part of that. It was a major part of that. Art is what pulled me through that addiction and that the pit of crap I was in. So art saves and art heals, and it can be cliche, and people are like, oh God, art heals. but it definitely does. And personally, you know, the pandemic could have been something that had ruined me because I was isolated and I was in my own feelings and my own thoughts, and there was no healing. There was, you know, but art, I was like, holy, hold on. I've got all this stuff that I can do, and beading and painting and drawing and uplifting others and other people's art and saying, hey, I know you draw. Maybe you should draw, you know? I see that you're down. Hey, why don't you grab your paints? You know, why don't you draw something? Do you think you could draw this for me? Can you paint this for me? You know, uplifting others and making sure, you know, if I felt like this, I know a lot of artists who have gone through addiction and different things in their lives, and art has definitely brought them through some different things. So that was one of the things I did, is just making sure that my friends and my family were like, okay, you know, you've got this outlet. If it's helping me, it probably will help you, you know, and it's healing and it's uplifting, and it mends all those hurts that you have, I think, if you're an artist.
Art does all those things that you mentioned. And I'm so glad that you were able to share your experience with Native Art Voices, the Four Corners, today, because that's what the public needs to hear. Yeah. They need to know about our story of art, because art has many branches to it, and there's arroyos and there's mesas and there's high desert mountains, but then there's the plains. All these places go with art. And so I think it's just a great thing that we are able to have someone like you, AJ, in our Four Corners art community. And I'm so thankful and grateful that you were able to be here, Shadeja, my little sister. And we will look forward to seeing you somewhere down on the art street soon.
Look for me and say hi. And you know, if there's something that you want to talk about, or even if you're down and you want someone to talk to you, a friend, non-judgmental, I'm always here. I just want to be, you know, somebody that uplifts others and make sure that you have an amazing day.
So that was AJ. And this is Native Art Voices of the Four Corners. And I thank you for listening today and being a part of our program. Until next time, have a great new year. Many blessings to you.
Hagonet.
Hagonet.
Did you enjoy that podcast? We hope that you did. And if you did, share it with your friends. And if you really want to keep podcasts like this coming, please support KSJE. You can do it easily online at ksje.com.